The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. Man, lots of news coming into us as we get started this afternoon. And a big announcement at 105 at the beginning, 106, at the beginning of the Fastest 15 today. A big announcement that we hope you will be a part of. So we got a lot to do. Let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
I actually have a pair of top stories today. I'm going to get to the arsonist and his criminal history in just a moment. But we are also getting confirmation that the Seattle Seahawks are not for sale. And this came out at the NFL Combine today when John Schneider confirmed that the team, because ever since the passing of owner Paul Allen, there were, I think it was mostly fear and trepidation among the 12s that the Seahawks would be sold, because they have been a model, not just NFL franchise, but they've been a model pro sports franchise. Not only, you know, displaying excellence on the field in three Super Bowl appearances now in the last 13 years, but the Seahawks also have not had a meddling owner. And the hallmark of Paul Allen's tenure as the owner of the Seahawks was he put football people in charge and he let them do their job. And that's as opposed to a lot of pro sports franchises where it's a vanity project for the owners, for the billionaires. And what happens then is you got a lot of egos that are making decisions instead of the best sports decisions. But the Tacoma News Tribune at the NFL Combine today is reporting that the owner now is the Paul G. Allen Trust, that Paul Allen's sister, Jody Allen, is the trustee of his trust. And so she is now officially the Seahawks chair. And general manager John Schneider is confirming that the team is not for sale. He said that his boss is now Jody Allen, that he used to report to Paul Allen, but Jody Allen is now his boss. And so it looks like status quo for the foreseeable future for the Seattle Seahawks. And I do think that's really good news for the 12s. Our other top story that we are working this afternoon.
The Big Lead. Top story.
As you just heard in Ursula's newscast, a man has now been charged with second-degree arson for that string of fires to businesses in Seattle late last year. He's a 38-year-old homeless guy, Matthew Hooper. And I have to ask the question of Jenny Durkin, of Jay Inslee, of Dow Constantine. What is it going to take before you stop embracing policies that try to encourage as much homelessness as possible? What's it going to take before we start? I talked to Dan Satterberg yesterday. He says he doesn't have the prosecutors or the jail space, and frankly, he doesn't have the will to lock up criminals. And this guy, there's absolutely no way that Matthew Hooper should have been on the streets. Six convictions over 13 years. I have a list of many of his encounters with the court system as he has been charged with property destruction, with assault, harassment, criminal trespass, and now through some DNA connections, they've determined that he is the suspect to be charged in the massive arson fires that took down so much of those South Lake Union neighborhoods late last year. And you may recall, I talked to the owner of the lumber yard that burned down, Dave Gascoigne, and I asked him, who do you think did something like this? So do you have a sense of who might be behind it?
I really, you know, people keep asking about who do you think the arson is and what do you think about him. My thoughts have actually not been based very much towards the arson. I haven't had time to even give him thought. I've been more or less thinking about what we're doing to move forward. But if you were to say, ask me right now, my assumption would be some mentally deranged person of some sort that gets pleasure in watching hardworking man's heritage burn down in front of him. I can't. Yeah, I don't. Somebody that's strange.
Some mentally deranged man. Well, I have the charging papers for Matthew Hooper. And it's unbelievable that this guy was roaming the streets of Seattle. It's equally unbelievable that we have politicians who allow, and prosecutors who allow somebody like this to roam the streets. We have to start locking up these repeat offenders. We told you the story both Tuesday and yesterday. 100 people in this region have been identified as having committed 3,500 crimes. 35 per person for these leading repeat offenders. And we don't lock them away. So let me read to you from the charging papers for Matthew Hooper. As the prosecutors wrote, even more concerning than the extensive damage caused at the Lumberyard, the Elks Club, and Seattle Gymnastics was the defendant's alarming decision to light a fire in a carport underneath an apartment building where several residents lived. Had the Seattle Fire Department not responded so promptly, the defendant could have burned down the occupied apartment building where many residents would have still been sleeping. Is that what it's going to take? Is it going to take a mass murder before our politicians start doing something about the crime on the streets, about the mentally ill, drug-addicted people who have taken over the region? And this guy was up in Bellingham when they found him. He's a serial arsonist, according to the charging papers. Let me tell you some of the things he did in this particular crime. November 8th, 2018, investigators determined the fire was purposefully set by stacking pieces of wood against the exterior of the side entrance door, pouring an ignitable liquid on the wood, and then using a handheld flame to start the fire at the Elks Club. At Gascoigne Lumber, 2 days later, November 10th, the fire was purposefully set by pouring an ignitable liquid on the wood and then using a handheld flame to start the fire. 9 days after that, Seattle Gymnastics Academy. Again, same storyline. Poured ignitable liquid on a pile of wood pallets in the planning strip and then started the fire. Ballard Smoke Shop Restaurant, 9 days later. Same MO, stacked wood pallets under a covered carport, poured an ignitable liquid on the wood, and then started the fire. And that was the one where there were tenants asleep in separate rooms above the carport at the time of that fire. When he was arrested, Hooper told the officers he uses the name Abba as his first name. He gave his current address as being in Leary Avenue in Ballard, the Ballard Food Bank. They say that he's homeless. He admitted to lighting the lumberyard fire. He admitting to setting the fire at the insurance company. He, at the end of the interview with investigators, Hooper said, "You solved the arson." Hooper said he didn't try to hurt anybody. That's why he did it when the businesses were closed. Hooper said he did it to protect himself. So clearly, an incredibly mentally disturbed guy who the system had been in contact with many, many occasions over the last 13 years. And we keep turning him out on the streets. And it will, one of these days, it will lead to a mass murder. This could have been. I mean, when we had the Mary Pang warehouse fire, what was that, about 20 years ago? Firefighters, many firefighters died battling that blaze. And then the whole community, then the mayor and the county people, Dow Constantine, Governor Inslee, they'll talk about what a tragedy it is. They'll talk about how Mayor Durkin will say, That's not what we are as a city. She'll say that for the 4,000th time. Hey, Mayor Durkin, please stop using the phrase, that's not who we are as a city. Because when you say it 4,000 times, maybe that is who we are as a city. And maybe you are a complete, utter failure as the mayor of this city. Dan Satterberg, nice enough to come on the show with me yesterday. But Prosecutor Satterberg, we got to start locking these people up. You told me you don't have enough money. Let's take some of the $100,000 per homeless person per year that we're spending right now. And let's start opening up new jails. Let's hire more prosecutors. Let's lock these people up before the mass murder occurs. What is it going to take? We got a bunch of bleeding hearts who are telling us left and right, we just need more tax money. We need a head tax on Amazon. We need a property tax increase from you. You do that and things will be better. Well, we're spending more than any city in the country per capita. And things have gotten dramatically worse. Why? Because the homelessness industrial complex is not about saving lives. It's not about changing lives. It's not about helping the most desperate. It is about the people who run the business that is homelessness. That's what this is all about. And we're fools if we give them another penny. But we are equally great fools if we don't demand that they take the money we're already spending, since the majority of people on the streets don't want services, don't want help, don't want alcohol, drug addiction counseling. They don't want mental health counseling. They don't want a bed for the night. They just want to be on the streets, breaking into another car, selling that so they can get their next fix of heroin. That's their lifestyle. That's what they've chosen. It's sad. It's pathetic. But we have to stop allowing this to just continue. This had unbelievable consequences in dollars lost and businesses destroyed, generational businesses, 100-year businesses, and all the jobs that go with it, destroyed. Although the lumber companies, they're rebuilding. They told me they're going to recover and reopen. When I talked to Dave Gascoigne after the arson, I'm always sick when I see that this impacts, you know, good people like your business, but I'm glad to know that you're going to be able to, like the phoenix, rise from the ashes here.
All right. Well, you know, it's a continual, seems to be a continual theme here throughout the ages that, it's a God thing, because we just continue to be blessed here, and it's great to be a part of that.
And that's a wonderful attitude that the victim expressed on our show. But we have to do more. Jenny Durkin, we could be better than this, but when you tell us that's not who we are, yeah, it is. You have continued the stewardship that accelerated dramatically when we had an accused child rapist as mayor. And a lot of people thought, well, maybe it'll be better now that we got that guy out and we get Jenny Durkin in. Now it's getting worse and worse. And your stewardship is a failure, Jenny Durkin. Seattle Police, we have to hire more cops. Prosecutor, you've got to start prosecuting the cases the cops bring to you. Dow Constantine, Jay Inslee, go run the country with your presidential announcement. I'm sure you'll do a bang up. I'm sure you'll do as great a job for America, Mr. Governor, as you're doing for our region right now. And can you imagine that? Can you imagine if Inslee, and Inslee's never going to get the nomination. Democrats are never going to nominate a white man as their presidential candidate. Sorry, Beto O'Rourke. He's a Hispanic, right? That's what he tells people. But could you imagine if Inslee somehow got the nomination? Can you imagine the opposition ads showing these fires blazing, showing the heroin needles everywhere, showing the Cato Institute report that we have the worst taxation and spending governor of all 50 in the United States. Go get that nomination, Jay Inslee. I'm rooting for you to be the Democratic nominee. So it's on all our public officials. And sadly, one of these days, there will be a mass murder because of our elected officials' failure of leadership. There could have been in this case. And the beat goes on in the bizarro world that is the Puget Sound area. And speaking of which, up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Bizarro world.
So what are the geniuses down in Olympia doing to help make our state better? Well, the Democrats have introduced a bill that would add being illegal to the list of protected classes in Washington state. Now, right now, we have protected classes for race, religion, ethnicity, age, gender. There is a bill in Olympia that would add illegals to the list of protected classes. So if you're an employer and you have two people who have applied for a job with similar qualifications, and one of them is a tax-paying American citizen, and one of them is an illegal who's been deported three times and keeps sneaking back into the country, if this Democrat bill passes in Olympia, you could be fined or sued if you said, well, I'm going to hire the American citizen over the illegal. Doug Erickson, can you play these for me, Nicole? Doug Erickson down in Olympia, the senator, Republican senator, he alerted us to this. And he says that, yeah, that's exactly what this bill would do. Protect
basically creates a protected class of people who have actually broken the law to get here. We have lots of hardworking men and women who go to work every day to defend our borders. But here in Olympia, we keep creating enticements for people to try to come into our state and into our country illegally.
Yeah, let's do that. That's a great idea, Democrats. We already have the fifth highest population of illegals of any state in the country. Why in the world wouldn't we want to attract more illegals here by adding them to the list of protected classes here in Washington? We are truly in bizarro world. It's costing us a fortune. We got the homeless people creating grave danger on the streets. Grave danger? Is there any other kind of danger? And that is your Big Lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
And then in the midst of all of this madness, I talked yesterday about the insanity of prevailing wage in our state. Wait until what you hear next, what prevailing wage may do to a group of hardworking, mentally, emotionally disabled people. It's an unbelievable story that you will hear next on the Dory Monson Show. Businesses that give opportunities to people who have challenges in life. And I know a grocery store that gives lots of opportunities to people on the spectrum. And I've become really good friends with some of those courtesy clerks. And it's just really cool to see. Sometimes the state of Washington gets involved, and that can make these relationships really challenging. Let me welcome to the show Rebecca Murray. She's marketing public relations for Chinook Industries up in Mount Vernon. Hey, Rebecca, I appreciate you coming on with me this afternoon.
Hey, Dory. Nice to speak with you.
And we were talking off the air. You and I have a little history. You were my invisible fence person when we had Star way back when.
I was. And I got to come to your home and work with Suzanne and work with Star. And
yeah.
It's just, she was a great dog.
Nicole told me that she warned you to not bring Star up on the air because I might start crying.
She did tell me
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I'm the one who brought it up. Okay, so tell me what's going on here. So you at Chinook Enterprises, you hire grounds maintenance people, is that right?
Well, Chinook Enterprises is a social enterprise. It was started in 1980 by a fellow by the name of Rob Martin. And the very first thing he did, he got a small grant to help people with disabilities find employment, which was challenging back in 1980, and it still is challenging to a large degree.
Sure.
He would go door to door to different businesses and say, hey, can we mow your lawn? Could we trim your hedges? And then he would deliver all of these borrowed mowing devices.
Yeah.
He'd deliver those first and then go back and get this group of people with various disabilities. And then they would mow the lawn, go on to the next one, on to the next one. Well, this small industry that he started then has grown to a group of 14 people, 75% of which have various disabilities today, who take care of municipalities' grounds, maintenance, and has grown to 850 acres a week.
Wow.
Of maintaining grounds in Skagit County for the Port of Anacortes, Port of Skagit, the Skagit Regional Hospital, the college. So all these grounds, they take care of them, spreading bark, mowing grass,
that's awesome.
Hedges, all those sorts of things.
Okay, and tell, what are the nature of the disabilities of the crew members who do have some measure of disability?
Some of them are completely nonverbal. Several of them, in fact, can't actually speak like you and I do. So we have, you know, these people have been working together for a long, long time. In fact, one of them, Drew Beals, started his groundskeeping career with Chinook Enterprises 27 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And it is like the best thing in his life to have this fantastic job.
So of
we
course.
Have some folks with maybe anxiety or autism, and it's just, again, it's a broad array. But I should say that this part of the company is only one part. The other part that makes it a social enterprise is that they do manufacturing and assembly work for companies like Boeing, always looking to diversify in that respect.
Okay.
The profits from that part of the company go to fund the social enterprises, which is really to help people find employment with employers in Skagit County.
That's really awesome.
Job at that.
I really admire that. And how much do you pay these workers?
Well, the workers who do the groundskeeping range anywhere from $14 to $17+ an hour. And that has, you know, they go up a little bit every year with raises and costs
and
that sort of thing.
But regardless of their level of impairment through their disability, they're mm-hmm. making at least $14 an hour.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
So
plus benefits or including benefits.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. What a fantastic, awesome enterprise. Okay, so tell mm-hmm. me how a Senate bill in Olympia has gotten involved in this great enterprise you have running.
Yes, well, it's fascinating because we found this out in December that Senate Bill 5493 was passed in September. And what it essentially does is it bumps that prevailing wage rate. In fact, the wage that anyone who is using power equipment, a lawnmower, a weed eater, a leaf blower on municipal or state property, their wage that they must be paid went from $14 and I think it was 53 cents an hour to $59.49 an hour.
So the state is going to mandate that you pay disabled workers $59 an hour.
Yeah, any worker who
right,
and it doesn't affect just disabled workers. It affects any worker on any state property, any landscape company who has a contract with a state agency, a port, a college, any municipal grounds. If they're going to maintain those grounds,
right,
the contract demands that they pay their workers a prevailing wage rate of $59.49 an hour for those workers.
Is that financially doable, sustainable for your business, for your company?
Well, so what happened is the Port of Anacortes, we were about to renew our port contract last December for this year, and we got a call from the port agency, and they said, you know, this prevailing wage thing, we can't renew the contract. So basically by March, which was when the contract work would start for the next year, Chinook Enterprises would lose 70% of all of its grounds business. And by next year, when another contract, the remainder of the contracts with the college and the hospitals were finished, we would lose that work as well. So essentially, our entire grounds maintenance division would be gone.
So 14 workers, nine of whom have disabilities, that part of your business is going to be eliminated by this Senate bill.
Right, right. So we...
Well, before we get to yourself, okay. I mean, because this breaks my heart. This absolutely breaks my heart. Could these disabled workers possibly make $59 an hour or return enough value to merit $59 an hour?
No worker doing this kind of work merits $59 an hour. An airline pilot, I doubt they even make. Do they make $59 an hour? I don't know many people who make $59 an hour working full time all year long. What kind of a wow?
Yeah.
What an amazing salary that would be for cutting grass.
Okay.
These are entry level workers. These are workers, many of whom, this is a landing spot for folks who maybe have had other challenges in life, not just disabilities, but people coming off homelessness, people coming off drug addiction. This is an entry-level job, unskilled labor. And for that, $14 an hour is actually a decent wage.
Well, in Mount Vernon, yeah, you can get by on that in Mount Vernon. And so we've got a bunch of bureaucrats in Olympia who are telling you that you got to pay them $59 an hour or lose all of your municipal contract. This is unbelievable to me, Rebecca. I mean, this is one of the, I talk about shameful things involving government an awful lot on my show. This is near the top of the list of what I've heard. This is incredible.
Well, and it's not just the landscaping industry, but it also affects affordable housing to essentially make it unaffordable housing. All of these contracts with shelters for building homeless and domestic violence shelters. So the ABC and AGC have gotten together. They filed a lawsuit against the state of Washington and labor and industries because it's the same effect in that industry. It's affected other industries. It's all these unintended consequences of the bill.
No, it's incredible. It's incredible. So I know that, and I don't have a lot of time, but I want to get the word out here. I know that you have a letter. You want people to contact the head of the prevailing wage program for labor and industries. And you've got a link to all of that at your website, which is ChinookEnterprises.org, correct?
That is correct. That is correct. We've had many letters, nearly 100 letters by this time, and this has only just been in the last few days. Our CEO and our recently retired founder, Rob Martin, were down in Olympia all day Tuesday, meeting with our legislative representatives. We had the representatives from District 39 write a co-letter down to the Department of Labor Industries, and it looks like we are getting some traction, and it is possible that this will be fixed next week.
Okay, well, let's help fix it. You have a template for a letter. So again, if my listeners go to ChinookEnterprises.org to help save this program, that would be wonderful. Rebecca, I'm shocked by what I'm hearing. I'm really happy to talk to you again, however. I'm glad you came on with me today.
So thank you very much. I'm really glad to reconnect with you again, too, Dory.
Thank you very much. All right, and we'll try to get the word out, okay?
Thank you so much for your support.
You really bet.
Appreciate it.
Rebecca Murray with Chinook Enterprises. And again, you want to help out, go to their website, ChinookEnterprises.org. You have a template of a letter that you can send to the prevailing wage guy. I was talking about prevailing wages yesterday and how when government artificially sets the wage level, it has no relation to supply and demand and basic economics. So, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on all of this. You can text me at 98973. That's the Online Trading Academy text line, 98973. And let's see what we can do to help this along. But when government gets involved, things usually get really, really screwed up. And we're talking about a bunch of lives here that need this job. Okay, let me know what you think. 98973. Lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show.
Thieves! So down in Olympia, another thing that's going on right now is the battle over high car tabs. Because, as you know, Tim Iman secured enough signatures to get $30 tabs on the ballot this November, which would strip away a lot of the funding from the most criminal enterprise of any public agency in the history of the United States, Sound Transit, the most wasteful public agency in the history of our country, Sound Transit. And so I absolutely will vote for $30 tabs. For the third time, by the way, twice before, the voters have voted for $30 tabs. And they always weasel out of it. And now, you know, I got daughters in their 20s, and they're getting car tab bills for $250 because they're getting held up, robbed, illegal valuations of their vehicles by Sound Transit. And it's criminal what Sound Transit does. So I will vote for $30 tabs this November. I absolutely guarantee you that. But now Sound Transit is in a panic that you and I will likely vote for $30 tabs. And so they're going to their Democrat buddies and they're saying, hey, give people some car tab relief now. And then maybe they won't vote for the more draconian Iman $30 initiative. Maybe just knock, you know, $20, $30, $40 off everyone's car tabs now. And then we can run a no campaign on $30 tabs and say, you just got relief in Olympia. Yeah, so instead of paying $250, my daughters are going to pay $210. Oh, yeah, that's some relief from that criminal agency. But what's even more despicable about all of this, I mean, again, I laugh in lieu of crying. The Democrats have known for years that people are hurting, that the $30 tabs is criminally ripping off working class people, the poor who have to have their car, the people who clean houses for a living, the tradespeople. You know, the middle class tradespeople who have to have their tools so that they can go to their plumbing or their electrician or their drywall hanging gig. They can't take a bus. And the Democrats have known for years that Sound Transit's ripping everybody off. They've known that especially middle class, working class people are hurting because of this ripoff. And they are like that guy on the Monopoly box, you know, with the top hat and the curly mustache and the cane, and they're just burning $100 tax dollar bills in the back room while the Sound Transit lobbyists and them are laughing as they swirl a snifter of brandy. Is snifter even a word? What do you swirl brandy in? I've never had brandy. I'm not so high society, you see. But yeah, they've known. Now they care. Oh, yeah, real sincere. Fastest 15 and a big announcement coming up next.